the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yes, it is Tuesday, which means it's a day of prayer. We thank the lady. Last year, as we were getting toward November, the election, and we had prayed some, but she suggested we pray every Tuesday leading up to the election. And then after that, people said, let's pray some more. And it has become the day of prayer here on Exploring the Word on Tuesday. That doesn't mean we don't take questions. But at the end of the hour, we make your prayer request priority. And so if you have those prayer requests, matter of fact, Brent can get them on Facebook, or he can get it however you might want to send it. And he's geared up, ready to give it and share it with us. So remember that as you come to the end of the segment, that phone number, I'm going to give it early. It's not open yet, so don't start dialing, but write it down, 888-589-8840. So we're glad you're listening today. It's not Monday, the first day of the week, but for some of us, we were off yesterday. And Alex, this is a little bit like Monday, back ready to go again, aren't we?
Well, it's Tuesday, but in my head and heart, it's kind of Monday, isn't it?
It is. Has been all day.
But I had the privilege of preaching Sunday at a church called Low Country Community Church, Pastor Steve Fairchild, and just had a great couple of services down there, and not only getting to preach God's Word, but you know, meeting people from kind of the Mid-Atlantic region, that many of whom listen to Exploring the Word. But and again, I thought Memorial Day weekend, you know, how much we appreciate this country. I don't know, Bert, I think the longer I live, the more I realize how blessed we are here in America, the freedoms that we do have, and just the way that God has allowed our nation to contribute so greatly to the Great Commission.
I agree with you. And Alex, I firmly believe the reason we're still doing that is because the churches in America are still sending missionaries, printing Bibles, sending those Bibles. And I really know this is the heart of God. And it's missional in every way. When I started reading the Bible missionally, now I know it was salvation, and yes, that's it. And yes, it's instruction. I know that's it. But when I started reading it missionally, after you're saved, we're on mission for God. It really did bring the Bible alive and purposeful. And so John wrote, these things I've written that you may know. He also said in the Gospel of John, he said, many more things I could have written, but I'm writing the ones that I've written so that you might know. And so the whole purpose is missional, and so we want to continue that on Exploring the Word, don't we?
Well, we really do, and we are in the book of Romans. We will get to prayer requests, and again, invite you to send those in. And you mentioned the Facebook page that Brent Austin looks after in addition to engineering the show. Just like us on Facebook if you haven't done that already. But if you've got a copy of the Bible, turn with us to Romans. And, you know, Bert, last week we were kind of overviewing and wrapping up Romans chapter 7. And again, some context, this is all about the gospel, and it builds. And in Romans chapter 7, I think all of us could relate to what Paul observed in Romans 7:24, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" You know, when he talks about the knowledge of the Lord and the Spirit of the Lord and the law of God written on our heart, I think deep down we know what we ought to do. We know what we very often want to do it. Bert, have you ever heard that old saying, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
And, you know, if you've ever promised yourself you were going to break a bad habit, or you feel conviction and, hey, I'm sorry I did that thing, I'm not going to do that anymore, and then we lapse into doing it, that is why Bill Bright of Campus Crusade, he wrote a little booklet called The Spirit-Filled Life. Have you made the wonderful discovery of the Spirit-Filled Life? And one of the best things any of us could ever do, and we can, with God's help, cultivate this habit, is to follow the Holy Spirit of God. And Bert, I do believe there's victory over sin. We know there's salvation from sin and hell, but I even think, and that's what Christian growth is all about, that we, as a born-again believer, more and more we're conformed to the image of Christ, we're conformed to the will of Christ, and it becomes more and more habitual to let our lives be led by God rather than the world, the flesh, and the devil.
Well spoken, brother. Amen. Nothing could be any more true than what you just said. I want to share one more verse in chapter 7 before we go to chapter 8, which is, I heard a preacher yesterday that was preaching on the television, and he said, some people consider Romans chapter 8 the greatest chapter on victory that's in the Bible. I would not disagree with that, and we're going to get to that. But notice, I think this sets it up in verse 23. I see another law in my members. Now listen to this word, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. And then that, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? There's a war going on, the old flesh and the new. And Alex, you have said the more you walk in the Spirit, letting him have control, the more that new nature has victory over the old nature. And this is what is going on in people's lives. And let the Holy Spirit of God lead you. With that in mind, we want to transition to chapter 8, verse 1, to one of the greatest statements that's in the entire Bible. It's in the first part of chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, I know in most versions, some of it has a comma after that. But if you read that, especially in the original Greek, I believe there should be a period there, Alex. In Amen. Other words, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. What a statement. This statement changes everything by the believer. Not a license, not legality, but freedom in Jesus Christ, that he has given us the freedom, and we're going to be talking about that, to be the person God wants us to be. That's what you want. God created you, and now he has redeemed you if you've received Jesus Christ as Savior, and you need to fulfill your purpose. And Alex has already said it, to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, that your life would bring glory and honor to him. Alex, what a purpose. I don't know of any purpose any higher than that.
Amen. Amen. You remember in John chapter 8, the woman caught in adultery, and Jesus looked at the lady. You know, Jesus wrote on the ground, and one by one, all the condemners left. And he said, woman, where are your accusers? And she said that they're gone, no more. Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And Romans 8, 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, Bert, there's a church where I've preached, a whole bunch of churches where I've been so privileged to go many, many times. And there's a man at this particular church. Every time I ever go there, he comes forward and he wants to get saved again. And he's prayed the sinner's prayer 100 times. And he says he's just worried that he's going to die and go to hell. And anyway, I've counseled with him, and so have other people. And I said, look, please take God at his word. Now, if somebody's not saved, they've never been born again, yes, be afraid and turn to Jesus. But for those that have put your faith in Christ, Romans 8, 1, you can have confidence, absolute assurance, peace in your soul. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. And Bert, I looked up in the English, it says there is therefore now no condemnation. It literally means coming into judgment. You're not going to fall under the judgment of sin and the condemnation of hell, because your sin debt was paid by Jesus. You've put your faith in Jesus. You are not only set free from the law, set free from the judgment that you otherwise would have been subjected to, but you're under God's grace.
Hallelujah.
I mean, that's why in Malachi, in the Old Testament, it says, you know, that when we see the Son of Man return, when we see Christ return, we will run and leap like calves from the stall. I think we can be that joyful now already, don't you?
Amen. I want to rehearse right now, so I'll be ready for heaven, Alex.
Yeah.
Rejoicing in him. Now, verse 2, I love verse 2, and I want you to see, I want to make a statement about it and an illustration, and then I want you to comment. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Hallelujah. Then he adds to it, from the law of sin and death. Mm-hmm. Now, there's two laws. Now, which one overrules? The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is greater than. It's greater than. It can and it does free you from the law of sin and death. Sin and death is real. They really are. But this freedom we have in Christ is only in him. Now, Alex, have you ever heard of the law of gravity?
I've heard of it, yes.
Have you tested it out, like jumping from a tree or anything when you were a little boy?
I did, and let me tell you, I was given some pretty hard lessons by that law of gravity in my growing up years.
Well, I got some bumps and bruises and everything like that trying to overcome the law of gravity, but I never could. But guess what happens? You're always flying somewhere. Next week, you're flying up to Montana, aren't you? Or flying into North Dakota to go to Montana, aren't you?
Yeah. When you and I talked this morning, shortly thereafter, I booked my plane ticket to go to, I'm flying to Rapid City, South Dakota, and then I'll drive 2 hours to Montana to our camp up there. But yeah, we've got our first of 7 youth camps beginning next Sunday in Ekalaka, Montana.
Amen. There's one of our prayer requests that we want you to do. We'll pray for those. But Alex, when you get on that plane, what happens to the law of gravity? Is there another law called the law of aerodynamics that overcomes the law of gravity?
Yeah, and you know, two Christians, Orville and Wilbur Wright, discovered how an airfoil can split the wind and create lift. Isn't that amazing?
It is.
Now, but the law of gravity is still there.
It's still there.
But they found a way to overcome the law of gravity.
Okay, in verse 2, the law of sin and death, is it still real?
It is, yes.
What can overcome it?
The blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Hallelujah. This is what we're preaching. We want those of you that know this, and those of you that are Christians and yet you're struggling so much with an addiction, you're struggling with an attitude, bitterness, whatever it is might be in your life. I want to tell you what Alex said earlier about the power of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. He can set you free to be an overcomer, to be one that is not held down the way the law of gravity holds you down, but you can be set free to be all that God wants you to be free in Christ Jesus. Alex, hallelujah. I want to say again, what a Savior. And we're going to keep on digging in here in chapter 8. There's more to come. It's a great, great chapter. You don't want to miss any of it. So stay tuned for more here on Exploring the Word. If we've learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight, fight, fight. We also learned how desperately the left wants to fight to take babies' lives, which is why every day Preborn Ministries fights for the babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers deciding between the life and death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them a free ultrasound to introduce their precious baby and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time, she'll choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. Babies are worth fighting for.
To donate, dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has 4-star charity ratings. Fight, fight, fight for the babies.
Don't stop!
Amen, amen. What great song lyrics. Don't stop praying, don't stop believing. Alex and Bert welcome you back to Exploring the Word, and we are in Romans chapter 8, and we're going to resume that, and we're going to take prayer requests. After this segment, we're going to open up the phones, too, and if you want to call in with a Bible question or a prayer request, the number is, as always, 888-589-8840. But right now, Bert, I've got to ask you a trivia question, and we're going to mix up a little geography and theology.
Okay.
In Romans 8, verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free." Okay, so here's a trivia question. Can you name an island in the Bahamas that has a Greek name?
Hey, it's I can't right now.
Not Eleuthera.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of Eleuthera?
I have not. I don't think I have.
Well, it's an island in the Bahamas, and the only reason I know of it is there's a church that I go to preach at, Nag's Head Baptist, and they support missionaries in Eleuthera, but that's a Greek word that means set free.
Amen.
And the word Eleuthera, I thought about this, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free, Paul says, and it's the word Eleuthera. Little trivia there. But that Greek word means set free. Isn't that something?
Amen.
Free from what? The law of sin and death. And, you know, like you were talking about gravity, a law is a law even if you're unaware of it. And there are people that they're not saved, and they may not completely know they need to be born again. And yet, God's laws are still in effect. And then when you become aware of what Jesus did, and he died and rose again, the time to respond to Jesus is the minute you hear the gospel. Because, you know, to understand, hey, Bert, I think it's a gift to comprehend your guilt before God.
Amen, Alex.
Because guilt can lead to repentance and belief.
Amen. Hey, guess what? We can't set ourselves free. You can't buy it. You can't work for it. You don't have anything worth. Only Jesus can set you free from this law of sin and death. Only Jesus. There is no other way. And you can try some other way, but it will only be a thief and a robber, and they have no part into heaven. And so this spirit of freedom comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ, and then the indwelling Holy Spirit coming and living in your life so that you can live this life of freedom. Galatians talks about Christ has set us free. And so, Alex, what a statement. Again, every verse in chapter 8 is nearly like this. Notice what it says in verse 3, kind of a commentary on that. "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh." What a statement. Only Jesus, for what the law could not do. Now, Alex, the Pharisee, let's go back to the Apostle Paul. He was writing this. He talked about, he said, man, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. Concerning the law, I was perfect. But he was still lost, wasn't he?
He was. He was. You know, like Nicodemus, Vince Havner said he had money, morals, and manners. And yet Jesus said, you must be born again. Verse 3 and 4. In fact, you know, I just want to encourage people to read Romans chapter 8. It is just so wonderful. "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know, verse 4, your walk changes because your status has changed.
Yes.
You know? Your very identity, your existence has changed. You were dead, now you're alive. You're an enemy of God, now you're the friend of God. You were living for that which brings death and condemnation, and now you've been set free and forgiven. And not just innocent. Let me say, when you get born again and you put your faith in Jesus, you are not merely innocent, but you are declared righteous in the eyes of God. That's just such a blessing. And verse 3, really, Bert, alludes to the incarnation. God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, not sinful flesh. That's what we often say. Jesus was fully God and fully man, but not fallen man. And he, because perfect humanity, perfect deity, Jesus was able to die for us, and praise God, he was willing to die for us. And in Christ, we have forgiveness and freedom.
Alex, there's a word in verse 4 that I think it just strikes me, fulfilled. Listen,
amen.
It was fulfilled in him. Nothing else. There was no other way. The law might be, he kept the law, perfection. That's what Jesus did. Now, he wasn't interested in the Pharisaical law. They took God's law and they said, you know, we believe we can explain it. Well, in their explanation, they just ruined so much of it. And so
here, and added to it.
Added to it. They really did. And so here he fulfills it. It's only in him. And then that law is brought about in us as we do walk, not walking according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There it is again, what we're talking about. The law of the Spirit overcoming the law of the flesh. The Spirit in Christ Jesus that he's put in those of you who are believers and followers of Christ, you have what God has given you to become that person that fulfills your purpose. The purpose of being conformed to Jesus, being like Jesus, and then doing the work he came to serve, we would serve others as well. Not according to the flesh, I just love those words, but according to the Spirit. Alex, the Holy Spirit of God, you go back to what he said in John, he doesn't leave us as orphans, you know, but he comes and we are placed in him through the power of the Holy Spirit, God in us. Now, Jesus came to us, but he went to the Father. But he said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send the Spirit, and he will indwell you. He will empower you. He will lead you. And Paul would make a big deal just about in every book he writes about the Spirit, the indwelling Spirit of God, helping us, strengthening us, and giving what we need for life and godliness. So, Alex, even here in verse 4, you see that we have everything we need to live that life where we do what? We do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
Amen. Well said. Amen. Amen. Now, verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Here's one of the perks of being a believer is, you know, peace. Yes, our status, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, but we have peace in our soul. And, you know, Bert, I got to tell you, that's a precious thing, isn't it, to be at peace? And by the way, let me just say this. I think it's worth reiterating again and again that we need to really understand who we are in Jesus Christ. And part of this is why, and Bert, you feel free to piggyback on this, that you need to be in church, because establishing habits and to think consistently and more let the Spirit of God be your leader and control you rather than the flesh. And, you know, we are this amalgam of emotions and will and memories. And, you know, there's the person is pretty complex, personality. And Satan knows how to play us like a fiddle. I mean, that's why Hebrews 12 warns against besetting sins, habitual sins. Satan knows how to tempt you. He really does. And Bert, I think just like, you know, if you're an athlete, you want to be on a team. You know, if you're going to get an education, you got to go to school. If you're going to thrive as a believer, much of the Christian life is personal, and it's you alone with God. But so much of the Christian life is also corporate, and it's you with other believers, part of the body of Christ. And Bert, I just firmly believe one of the keys to victory and just joy and thriving is to be a part of a church. We need that encouragement. We need that accountability. And we need to be among the role models so that for God's glory, we too would be a role model.
Alex, that is well said. To demonstrate that sometimes in a church, I'll call five men up. Usually it's men. I call them up and I ask one man to stand in the middle. And then I ask one man to stand in front of him. And then I ask two of the men to stand beside him on either side. And then one man that is following him. To demonstrate that, we say usually we have some people, and we find them in our church, we find them in our small groups, someone that is leading the way. They're mentoring us. They're helping us. They challenge us. They hold us accountable. And then we have two guys on either side that kind of, man, we're headed in the same direction. We're walking together, and usually, you know, they know one another and they ask each other how they're doing, but they also have some people behind you, someone that's watching you, someone that is observing you to see how you're doing, to see if they want to follow you as you're following the guy in front of you. Now, Alex, look how that surrounds you if you're the guy in the middle. You are surrounded by someone who's going before you, two guys that are walking with you, and then you have someone that is observing you and watching you. I just want to tell you, if you can observe that and in your mind have that as your walk with the Lord, he's in you, he's guiding you, but he's got these people around you that's helping you. Did you hear about the little boy that was in his room? You know, he's an only child, and a storm came, lightning and thundering, and he ran into his mom and dad's room, you know, and he wanted to get in bed with them, and they said, no, we're going to teach him to be brave. So they took him back to his room, tucked him in, and said, son, God's with you. You can depend on him. Then that big clap of thunder came. He went back into his mom and dad's room, and the same thing occurred, and they took him back. And then the third time it happened, and they said, don't you know, son, that God's with you? He said, yes, but sometimes you need somebody with skin on. You know, Alex, yes. That's what you were talking about in church. You go to church. Yes, the Holy Spirit of God can live. He lives in you. He can guide you. But having somebody that's walking the path with you, it really should aid us. Now, there's nobody perfect. If you're looking for that perfect person to follow, you won't find him except Jesus. And if you're looking for those two guys to be beside you that are just right exactly like you are, you don't find anybody exactly like you. But you need to surround yourself with these people, men with men and women with women. It'll really help you grow, brother.
It really will. And, you know, I think about when I first got saved when I was 21 years old. And, of course, you know, all my life I knew about God. I've thought about God and had a pretty keen moral compass in my heart. But at 21, I got saved. And Bert, right quick, I begin to see people. There's an evangelist. Some of you in North Carolina will have heard of the evangelist Dale Riddle. And he came and preached a revival, and I learned so much. And I thought, man, I wanna be like that guy, and I want to know the word. There's another, John Willett, John Willett was a pastor in Greensboro, and he did a revival, and it was on Daniel and Revelation. I had never, ever heard anything about Bible prophecy, and I realized that Jesus is coming back. And Bert, my grandmother had left me a big old box of books, and about 10 or 15% of this box of Christian books were books by Vance Havner, who we mention all the time. Anyway, here's my point. I want to encourage you all, have some people that you learn from and look up to. And I know we keep our eyes on Jesus. This is all about Jesus. But I think about Josh McDowell, who I read his books and have learned of his life of 6 decades of faithful service to the Lord. Bert, did you have some spiritual heroes coming up?
Oh, yes, I did. And I admired my dad. My dad was...
Amen.
He
Amen.
Really was. He was someone I watched and observed up close. Being a farmer boy, I was around him all the time. We worked together, ate together. We were together all the time. But one guy, and I'll call him out, he was the same age as I was. His name was Bud Davis. Bud is still... we were best men in each other's wedding, and I admired Bud. He walked consistently. Even as a teenager, he was walking with the Lord. And I was talking about being saved, and Bud would tell me, he said, Bert, walking that aisle won't do it. Baptism won't do it. You've got to have a personal relationship with Christ. As Amen. An eighth grader, Bud was giving that to me and so strong. And it still marks my day. And so I praise the Lord. Even those young people, you can be that person in their life. And Bud was with me. And I know there's others that have been, but you need to be that way as well. Well, Alex, we're going to stop here and we'll start again in verse 7 tomorrow. But we're going to have the day of prayer today. And that number, if you have prayer requests, 888-589-8840. Brent's on Facebook. He's ready to receive your prayer request. He'll share it with us. But we're going to continue with more of Exploring the Word. But it's going to be a day of prayer as we ask God just to help us, lead us, that we might become more and more like Christ Jesus.
Hey, if you've never heard of AFA Stream, let me tell you about it. It's video streaming that goes beyond just entertainment. Yeah, there are shorts and feature films for all ages, but they're all backed by scriptural themes. You'll also find resources to help you grow closer to God, along with documentaries like Culture Warrior, the story of Don Wildman and the founding of AFA. There's a lot of free content, but if you become a Great Commission partner, you'll unlock much more. Check it out today at stream.afa.net.
Don't stop!
What a song, and that's the song we've been playing on Tuesdays, and Don't Stop Praying, and we are asking people to pray. Alex, people have called in, and that number is 888-589-8840, and we want to hear their prayer request. And if you have a question, we'll work it in if we can. Prayer request, have priority on Tuesday. That's just the way we try to make it. But we need to pray for a family down in West Monroe, Louisiana, don't we?
We do. The Robertson family, maybe you saw it in the news about Phil Robertson passing away. And Bert, I just want to commend them. And he's been a very vocal Christian. They got famous, the Duck Dynasty and the Duck Commander show. But Willie and Silas, Phil, they've been very prominent witnesses for the gospel, haven't they?
They really have, and thank God for them. And our middle son, Matthew, he sent something that's a recording of Phil. It's called Unashamed. And standing up in whatever area he was in, being interviewed by whoever it might be, he made much of Jesus. And so God changed his life. Even there's a film out, and that you can watch. What's the name of it? I think you remember it, Brent. What's the name of that?
You're talking about The Blind?
The Blind.
Yeah,
and it tells you the story of Phil, how he came to Christ. You know, I just, God brought him out of the pit and set his foot on the rock and changed his life, Alex.
Amen. And let me say, they were not politically correct. They spoke truth. They were
far from it.
Correct.
Far from
but
it.
Condolences to the family of Phil Robertson.
Yes. Thank God for them.
Well, the number is 888-589-8840. We're going to go down to Kansas. Carol in Kansas, are you there?
I am.
Hey, thanks for holding. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
You bet. Love calling in. I have. Can I cheat and have a couple of prayer requests?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I have a twin sister and a daughter-in-law that are both having knee replacements this month, and so my sister is having her third one. Not that she has three legs, but one went bad, and so she's having to have it redone. So she needs special prayer for that. And then I have five great-grandchildren and a granddaughter that she has remarried, and her husband wants to rejoin the Army because after 12 years he got out under the Biden administration, and he wants to re-up, I guess they call it. And that would take them away from me, and I'm just brokenhearted. But we want God's will, and we want to leave that open. But I'd like your prayer for their family.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you, Carol. And listen, we, the military, so difficult sometimes on the family that is left behind. And on this Memorial Day last weekend, so many was remembered for all that they've done. So thank God for those that are serving now. And the hardships, they're real. And it's real for the families that's having to watch them leave and go elsewhere, isn't it, Alex?
It is, these deployments and all. And I'm going to pray, Lord, be with Carol's sister in this knee replacement. I pray it'll go well. The recovery will be thorough and the pain minimal. And then for these grandchildren that are being, taken away through deployments and serving our country, Lord, bless Carol. And Lord, I can tell she's a great influence in her family for you, I know. And I just pray that you'll draw this family closer to each other and closer to you, and that all the concerns on her heart, Lord, you'll address. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we're going to go to Texas. Stephanie in Texas, thank you for holding. And you are on Exploring the Word.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call, and God bless you both. I listen to you guys every day, and I'm really enjoying the Romans chapter 8. I have a prayer request for this Sunday. I'm doing my first Bible study for the youngsters at church. And they'll be like 3 and 4. I just would like to ask for a prayer and presenting to them in a way that God would want me to, and maybe be able to reveal to them so that they can take something home from that study. I'm
a little
nervous.
Awesome. Forgive me for jumping in here, Stephanie. I think it is wonderful that you're going to be teaching Bible to the children, and yes, we're going to lift you up in prayer, and I know you'll do great because you've got a heart for Jesus, and you're doing it for him.
Amen. Stephanie, I want to tell you a story. A pastor at First Baptist Church, Dallas, large church, W.A. Criswell, years and years ago, we were at a Southern Baptist convention, and Jan and I had our oldest son, Nathan. He was with us, just a baby, not a year old yet, and we were strolling him, and Dr. Criswell came out of a door, and he saw that little boy. He stopped. He wasn't speaking to Jan and myself, but he got down on his knee and spoke to our son, Nathan, and he just was, proud to see him. And he said, these are the most important people in your church. Don't you know that? He was speaking to me, and I said, they are? And he said, yeah, they always bring somebody with them. And Alex's children, Jesus, man, don't hinder those children. Let them come to me. Stephanie, I just want to tell you, you're doing a very tremendous job in something that's close to the heart of God. So we want to pray for you, don't we, Alex?
Amen. And Stephanie, be assured the Holy Spirit will guide you. When you stand up there to teach, it will just flow, and God will give you the words you need, and you can be assured of that. Bert, why don't you pray for her, would you?
I will. Father, thank you for Stephanie. Thank you for her willingness to serve. And God, that says a volume. And Father, she's serving there with these children. God, use her in a way that would communicate all the traits of God, that they would know that God cares for them, that God is for them. And may all these characteristics of God be seen and heard as she teaches her Bible stories, and they could hear about what Jesus has done. And Father, strengthen her, help her, empower her through the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's go to North Carolina. Deborah in North Carolina, thank you for holding, and welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, this is Deborah. Could you hear me?
Yes, you're on.
Oh, praise the Lord. I just had a prayer request for my nephew, Arthur. He'll be going to court on the 29th, and he just asked that if we keep him in prayer, and I've been just using Luke 2:52. That, you know, when Jesus had favor with God, God gave him favor with man. So I'm just praying that same prayer over my nephew, Arthur, because, you know, we got a lot of bad judges out here, and that makes people nervous, the people that are going to court, and I didn't want my nephew to be nervous. I wanted him to be relaxed. And I talked with him last night. I told him, I said, don't be scared. He said he's kind of scared a little bit. So we could just pray the fear off of him also. So could I pray for him first, and then you guys can pray? Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Father, I thank you. I praise you for my nephew, Arthur, Lord. I spoke to him last night, and he was kind of scared a little bit going to court. But, God, I told him we're going to use Luke 2:52. When Jesus had favor with you, and you gave him favor with man. And I just pray when my nephew get before the judge that he will have favor. Oh, precious Father, Lord, you said the heart of a king is in your hand. That heart of a judge is in your hand also, Lord. And you're going to guide him, and you're going to talk to him, and you're going to minister to that judge, and you're going to show favor with my nephew, oh, precious God. Mm-hmm. We thank you, Lord. You told us that you answer us before we even call. So this prayer was already answered before my nephew gave the prayer request, and I just thank and I praise you for the victory over my nephew in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, Deborah.
Amen. Amen.
Why, don't you want ants like that in your corner, Alex?
Deborah, what a wonderful woman of God you are. I can tell that, and we agree with you, and we will be praying for Arthur. I assure you. We're going to Virginia, and we have a loving wife on hold, and not giving out the name, but Virginia wife, what you got there, sister?
Hello, y'all. My honey of 45 years was just diagnosed with a blood cancer.
I'm very sorry.
And I know God can do all things, and I want ask for him to be healed as a testimony for what the Lord can do in this hour that we are living in, that the Lord does reign on this earth, and he cares for his people that call him Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Amen.
We're going to pray. Alex, listen, you know, we look at the tragedy of a young husband and wife and losing them early. And it is. It's difficult because of all things. But the possibility, and we're going to ask for his life to continue. We are going to do that. But I want to just tell you, after you've lived with someone 45 years and walking together, sharing together, the possibility of doing that, it does cause that in our heart to cry out to God. Oh, God, heal them. And that's what we're going to do for this man, isn't we? Aren't we?
Amen. Let me pray right now. Father God, bless this dear lady. 45 years of marriage, and that's a bond that is beyond description. And for the husband who's now got blood cancer, for one thing, Lord, I pray that they will just lean on you. And Lord, you are the great physician. And Lord, I just pray that even though fear and being apprehensive, that's just human. I mean, we can't help it. You know, when we get a diagnosis, something like that, it just really can shake us up. But I pray they would have peace. I pray that the doctors can minister. And Lord, I would pray for this man's healing. In Jesus' name, we pray for complete healing and deliverance from this blood cancer. But Lord, most of all, we pray for your ministry in their soul. Lord, individually and as a couple, that they would be walking with you. And Lord, what a joy to know that you do all things well. What a joy to know that we are secure in Christ. And what a, like Paul said, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. But we pray. And Lord, this is a reminder, every day that we're alive, every day that we can enjoy our family members, and if for those married, every day we can appreciate and enjoy our spouse. Lord, help us to cherish each day, because each day is a gift from you. And Lord, help us to be grateful for our health, which is our first wealth, is our health, really. But we lift this man and this woman up to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We going to Iowa. Is it Keshana? Am I pronouncing your name correctly? Keshana?
Yes, it's Keshana.
Welcome. What you got?
Hi, so I just wanted to you guys to say a prayer today for me and my children. We've been dealing with a lot of spiritual warfare for the last 2 years. Me and my son have been having, he's seven, by the way, we've been having dreams about the end times and just the last days and Jesus coming back. And then now we're dealing with being homeless right now, but we're keeping our faith and we're staying strong. So I just ask you guys to say a prayer for us, please.
Amen.
Amen. We will, Keshana. Listen, when you think about the return of the Lord, the end times, here's what it does. Two things for me, Alex, and one of them is I got from Charles Spurgeon. He said one of the things that keeps him on track with serving God with the right attitude was thinking that Jesus could come back at any time. The other one was Jesus on the cross. And he said, when I get anxiety about that of Christ coming back, I look to the cross. We still do what Jesus has done. He who began a good work in us, he's going to complete it under the day of Christ, isn't he?
Amen. And Bert, I want you to pray for Keshana and her son. And also, we're going to pray for financial blessing and the homeless situation, that Jesus is your source, and that he'll provide for every need that you have. Bert, would you lift up Keshana?
Father, we come to you today. Thank you for Keshana listening and then responding and calling. And we have people all over America right now that are praying that she would find that peace and her son would find peace in you and knowing that you are in control. And Father, for her situation in her life, we're praying for resolve. Father, that you would bring about direction and placement for her. Father, we don't know exactly how you'll do it, but we believe with all of our heart, Father, that you will. We know you can, and we stand on that and pray that you will, that you would bring that about in her life. And Father, so she would have that nailed down. And Father, that she would not be overcome with worry and doubt. But, Father, she would have what we've been talking about here in Romans chapter 8, that she would have peace, life in peace. And we pray this and believe it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're just about out of time, and so I don't know that we have time for another phone call. Well, we don't. There's that music. But, Bert, you know, we're going to continue on tomorrow in Romans chapter 8. Read on ahead if you want to. And oh my goodness, especially when we get to places like verse 18 and following, it's going to be a great encouragement to you. And hey, we always say this, I'm going to say this, and I'll throw it to you, Bert. Please, if you would, tell somebody about exploring the Word, but most of all, tell everybody about Jesus. Bert, a final thought.
And when you do, I want to just tell you, the Holy Spirit of God will be with you. He'll empower you and encourage you. And remember, after you've shared it, he's working even in that person that you shared it with. It doesn't stop there because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Tomorrow, we'll continue in Romans chapter 8. Don't miss it.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.